Welcome to the Seek Together podcast, presented by Dow. Together, we'll discuss how imagining a better tomorrow starts with asking bold questions, having honest conversations, and working together to tackle barriers in technology and in society. This is the Seek Together podcast. Thank you for tuning in.
Hello, and welcome to the Seek Together podcast, where we talk about the importance of collaboration to solve challenges and make progress in the space of product innovation, digital, inclusion, and of course, and always, sustainability. On today's episode, we're joined by Wendy Takaguchi, representing the Alliance to End Plastic Waste, Zach Green, president at Be Alive Studios, and John Holm, vice president, strategic initiatives at Pixera Global. Together, we'll discuss the value and fragility of our river systems while showcasing their interconnectedness with all of us and how we can find solutions to waterway waste challenges. Welcome, everybody. It is such a pleasure to have you on the Seek Together podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
So excited about this one. I have to tell you, because a problem that we're discussing today not only plagues our world, but our minds. I really think it is top of everybody's mind these days. And not only are you all people who are doing something about it, but our audience is going to walk away better informed on how they can be a part of the creative solutions that you're spearheading. And that is just exciting to me. Okay, so there is a lot to cover. I want to get right to it. Wendy, you are in the thick of it. Tell us a little about yourself and your role and work at the Alliance to End Plastic Waste.
Thank you, Eva, and thank you for having me here today. My name is Wendy Takaguchi, and I believe I have one of the best jobs at the Alliance to End Plastic Waste. I'm responsible for overseeing projects in the Americas region. And for those who don't know about the Alliance to End Plastic Waste is focused on ending plastic waste in the environment. We're a nonprofit organization made up of members that represent all the different parts of the value chain, like resin producers, brand owners, enablers, waste management companies, with Dow being one of the founding members. And since inception in 2019, the Alliance's project portfolio has grown to comprise over 50 projects across 30 countries worldwide. And initially, we started with the high leakage countries first, right? We're here to talk about rivers and riverways. And that's where, you know, our projects had started to really address those high leakage areas. And we have now expanded to the Americas region. So one of my project partners is the Center for Regenerative Design and Collaboration, otherwise known as CRDC. And the Alliance is helping CRDC to scale their Costa Rica facility to a full-scale operation and also build their first plant in the U.S. in York, Pennsylvania. CRDC takes hard-to-recycle plastic waste, and they can really take any type of plastic and convert it into an eco-aggregate called Resonate that can be used in concrete applications.
You do have a very good job, a little bit complex sounding to me, but very satisfying and fulfilling, I'm sure. Another person with a great job is Zach. So Zach, we all know that part of solving any problem is creating awareness. And it's not that most aren't well aware of the problem we're discussing, but you're meeting people exactly where they are on their screens, their televisions, their phone screens, their computer screens. I would love to hear about your passion for creating films to educate and inspire people.
Yeah, again, thank you as well for having me. It is a funny thing. I mean, I've met so many people through Dow and AEPW and Pixera, others that are so well versed in the science and the technical side of things. And it's funny because I'm at heart a storyteller. It's just what I've done. It's what I do. It's what I've done with my entire career. I'm based here in Michigan, where Dow is actually. That's where we launched Be Alive, which is our production company that is producing these films. But I came by way of LA. I was in Los Angeles for 20 years. My background is in storytelling for the Discovery Channel, History Channel, National Geographic, Netflix, all those types of things in more mainstream content. But what I've learned in that time period is the power of a good story to motivate and activate and inspire an audience. And to take that and apply it to something like this, to what we're doing with Rivers Are Life, to what we're doing as a collaboration here, it's amazing. We're just on the front end of the journey. So it's exactly what we want to do with these stories. We want to showcase the good people that are doing amazing work out there to to better the health of our river systems that are under threat right now, but in a hopeful way. There's so much doom and gloom in the world, and I think, you know, our goal is to showcase solutions and positive hard work at the end of the day.
That's fantastic. There's a reason why kids say again, another story. Well, I know they don't want to go to bed, but there's another reason. So I love that approach to like informing and inspiring all around us. So thank you for that. Speaking of change and change makers, Pixera is known as a leader of change. I would love for you, John, to provide more detail about the purpose and journey of Pixera Global and what your connection is with Zach and Wendy.
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. And also a pleasure being here. I mean, I think, you know, to highlight Pixera Global's journey, I mean, we've been around for 30 plus years, worked in over 120 countries. And I think really our mission is really defined as solving the world's most pressing challenges one community at a time. And really looking at, I think, leading transition to be inclusive, equitable, and regenerative. So you mentioned a little bit about storytelling. I think a lot of the work we're doing is translating. We really look at uniting the public, private, and social sectors together to work consistently on how we can solve collective problems, but at a community level. And I think a lot of the work that we've been doing, not just in Alaska, but demonstrating also in other markets like in Ghana and also in even Lake Charles, Louisiana, is really demonstrating that impact and collision, or I would say connection tissue from a sectoral place of representing community matters. Really how we intersected with Zach and Wendy is, you know, we had this vision in 2019 of zero waste communities, but it was different than most, where we started looking at through the lens of indigenous and said, well, listen, these reduce, reuse, repurpose behaviors. These are something that's been around for a long time. What if we went to Alaska and we focus on these behaviors, but through the lens of the indigenous populations, and then look at a waste shed of what it means to their lives, to their dreams, what it looks like in a local context. And so in developing that idea and vision of then taking an idea of what waste management looked like, we started partnering with Dow and bringing others on a collective action, First Mile, Metabolic, and then lead, obviously, with GoAK, of really thinking through solutions at scale of a waste management system that was not designed to handle this. And instead of, as you said, playing a violin and sobbing, working with, for example, Wendy on looking at solutions with CRDC of how we could bring them in to solve a problem, or working with Zach and saying, listen, let's work together on storytelling. We'll pull the thread together, the actors, but can you please tell the story in a thoughtful way to get the world to pay attention? So I think, you know, we've worked, I would say, in a convening role behind the scenes with Dow to enable that storytelling, enable that process to come together.
John, I love that we are continuing to talk about this storytelling. And I also love that you talk about this collaboration. There are so many different elements that need to come together to really advance an agenda. I want to hear a little bit more about this partnership that you're talking about, this collaboration. So why don't we sort of back up a little bit and Zach, explain to me what Rivers Are Life is exactly, its objective, and then we'll delve a little bit more into how you're all connected to it and what that means to each of you. So Zach, why don't you take charge on this one?
Absolutely. So yeah, thanks for that. So Rivers Are Life, it was really born from this thought of rivers that are just, rivers are in peril. I mean, that is the basis of it all. And a lot of the lion's share of attention is on oceans, and it should be. But in the entertainment space specifically, it's on oceans. And we took a look around and we said, what about rivers, right? This very, very important ecosystem, most vital and, you know, to life on the planet, and they're in peril, and nobody's really talking about them in a really big public way. I mean, there's a lot of work being done, but it's not being highlighted. And so at the end of the day, that's the aim of Rivers Are Life, is we want to highlight what we call river heroes, the individuals, the grassroots organizations, the institutions that are doing great work day in and day out to positively impact our global river health. And there's many ways to do that, one of which is telling stories, highlighting them through these films, but also by bringing together collaborators and innovators from all different sectors to not just shine a light on the work that they're doing, but also enable the work. How do we help prop them up and further that work to create longer and lasting, more lasting impact? And at the end of the day, that's really what Rivers Are Life is all about.
Thank you so much, Zach. Speaking of bringing people into the fold, I know, John, that Pixera introduced DAO to GoAK as a spark point for this collaboration. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the idea with Alaska was really thinking through a little bit a story that needs to be told. There's no waste management systems that are actually really functional. Waste material comes up, but it does not come out. And I think what was fascinating on this journey was looking at the opportunity in Alaska and really thinking through the complexity of it. There's more beach in Alaska than there is in the lower 48 combined. The trash that's coming through on Alaska shorelines is not just coming, actually not coming from Alaska. It's coming from Russia. It's coming from Taiwan. It's coming from Philippines. So the storytelling of that richness of how much waste is piling up on the shorelines and actually in hurting tribal ecosystems where there's no waste management was one we had to tell. And then there's Chris Callister with GoAK. We found out about him and we just cold called him to death to participate. We said, we need you, and started working that angle. And then he just became the biggest ally. We always look at the project pre-Chris and after Chris. And once we got Chris on, he opened up his own ecosystem of 20 years plus of going through the hardest conditions, bootstrapping with his family, but also getting senators involved, also getting a whole community focusing on this problem. And I think for us, it was just really when we stitched it together, the Rivers of Life concept, he was kind of the archetype for when I talked to the team at Dow and talked to the crew. This is the archetype of the storytelling. And I think that really comes out. So I think, you know, with Be Alive in that connection piece, I think was this thing with GoAK. It was really natural to find them and natural actually to get them and their work focus as part of our team. But I'm going to bury the lead for a second. He's one piece of a much broader system, though, of what we're really excited to tell a story about. That's one collection piece, and there's more to come in the conversation.
Well, I love the teaser, John. And then, Wendy, you come up with the solutions, right? So tell me a little bit about your part in all of this.
And to build upon what John said, he talked about ecosystems, right? And building out ecosystems. And that's what we help to do at the Alliance. And, through collaboration and connections, Dow connected the Alliance to End Plastic Waste with Pixera to find a solution for this hard to recycle plastic waste found on the shores of Alaska, right? The ocean cleanup material. In the past, it was very difficult for them to find solutions for this plastic waste. And so I got a phone call asking me if I knew what to do with this type of material. And given my current role at the Alliance to manage projects that look at creating a circular economy for plastics, I was able to identify a great solution for this plastic waste found on the shores of Alaska. And we identified CRDC, the Center for Regenerative Design and Collaboration. And what they do is they take hard to recycle plastics, but really they can take any type of plastic. But the reality is this hard to recycle plastic now has a home, right? So what would have been initially an end of life can now have another home. It can have another life as an eco aggregate for concrete. It can be used in all different types of construction applications. So it was really fulfilling to be able to find a solution for the Alaska project and be able to really close the loop on the plastic that they found on those shores.
Oh, that is wonderful. Zach, before we move on, I heard the Be Alive motto, and I just want you to say it out loud because it's just so inspiring. And I think it really speaks to what you're all doing here today.
Yeah, we say it all the time. It's if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So
can I get that on a t-shirt?
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's something that we say a lot because it takes time. This has been building for a long time, and to bring all these collaborators together, you know, I mean, John, you know, and Wendy and all these different organizations and the folks at Dow and our team, the logistics and the planning, it was intense. So it is not a super fast process, but nothing of worth really ever is. You can't really do it fast. We have to take our time and make sure we do it right because it's that important. And so it was an amazing experience and one that we want to continue to replicate over and over and over at RAL.
As I'm listening to you, I'm just very fully aware how collaboration demonstrates the possibilities in discarded plastic and how we can really revolutionize the way in which we consider waste. And so, Wendy, I want to go back to you and allow you to give us some more details. I think I heard that it's not just, you're talking about ways to use plastic. It's not hiding plastic. It's really enhancing the ways in which other products are formed and their sustainability and their life. Tell us a little bit more about Resin 8 and how this all comes into play.
Sure. So Resin 8, as I mentioned earlier, is an eco-aggregate that goes into concrete and can be used in construction applications, right? And so, you know, it actually becomes an appreciating asset, right? Once it becomes a part of a building or a part of a construction project, it will be there for a very long time, right? As long as that building is in place. The Resin 8 is actually one of our promising solutions, right, at the Alliance Sand Plastic Waste. They provide a solution for you're really the lowest tier of your waste, your plastic waste hierarchy, right? All these hard to recycle plastics that don't have a home today and really have an end of life. But what we're trying to do with the Alliance is to give it another life, to close that loop, to make it a circular economy for plastics, right? And we have projects that address all the different levels of the waste hierarchy from, you know, the highest quality, which would be, you know, food grade to food grade film, being able to recycle currently what is food grade film back into its same type of material, food grade film, all the way down to the lowest end of the waste hierarchy, which would be a solution like CRDC's Resin 8, which can take pretty much any type of plastic waste and convert it into a product that can be used in construction and have that increasing value.
So even the stuff that is so messed up by the time it gets to the ocean that we're worried about what we do with it.
Yep, CRDC can handle the, you know, brittle, sun-dried plastic that you find on the beach, or, you know, in the case of the One Alaska project with the Gulf of Alaska keepers, we were able to take their buoys, some sort of laundry basket type of material, bottles. I mean, anything that was either discarded into the ocean and ended up on the beach, CRDC took all of that material and we converted it into Resin 8.
That is just amazing. And I know that you highlight a lot of this in your newest film, Zach, Keepers of the North. I have to say, everyone needs to watch this film and then pass it along to 10 friends, and we're going to link it for sure. But tell us a little bit more, Zach, about Keepers of the North, how it helps your mission, and just what you feel about it in general.
I hope everybody goes out to take a look. I mean, we're really proud of it. But more than anything, we're proud to be a part of it to show this great work. So, you know, as John mentioned earlier, Chris Pallister, you know, his organization Go AK, is at the heart of the story. And his team has been doing this for a long time. And they've been researching, they've been cleaning, but they've never had a place to take the waste other than land, you know, traditional landfills and things like that. That waste removal is one big piece of it, but we want to highlight this extension of it. And so that's where all these different collaborators came into play. And FedEx stepped in to ship the waste across the country to CRDC, and Dow played a big part in it as well, helping to connect these, you know, all these different organizations too. At the end of the day, we highlight Chris and his team, you know, in the deep, cold, you know, brutal north of Alaska on these pristine, what should be pristine beaches, far from human activity, and they're just littered with waste. And so his team collects it via boat, helicopter, then, you know, then moving it into vehicles, that those vehicles then ship it to a pickup location. And then from there, we follow that waste all the way to the East Coast and it to the CRDC facility. And we watch as they manage that and do what Wendy just said. And it is astounding, because I think it was one of the biggest issues that we're facing with this type of waste is how do you recycle it? How do you reuse it, especially when it's been, you know, soaking in the ocean and in the sun, and, you know, has barnacles and seaweed and all these, you know, impurities in it, and turn it into something recyclable. So the fact that this is a reality and not just something that is, you know, a thought in somebody's mind to film and tell the story of all these different pieces coming together, it was just spectacular. And the film, you know, Chris and his team are amazing. Wendy, you're a superstar. You know, John, you put it all together. So it was really a lot of fun to do it. And we want to keep doing more of these.
And what I thought was especially great, Zach, is that you really highlighted the grassroots efforts as well. You know, sometimes I think, especially lately, we feel helpless to solve these grand problems as individuals. And we want big companies and governments to solve them. And as much as we need the likes of Dow and Pixera to step in with the resources, the reach, the connections, the ideas, you know, I'm not a chemical engineer. I wouldn't know what to do with that, right? But each of us as individuals know best how to respond to the needs of our families, our communities. That gentleman in the film that's been picking up trash for 20 years, I mean, he knows that he wants to preserve his land for future populations. So yes, collaboration is key, but as individuals, we aren't powerless, quite the opposite. And I think that that is just such an important reminder, especially lately when we have all felt increasingly helpless. So thank you for that powerful film.
Oh, absolutely. And I couldn't agree more. That's the call to action. That's the inspiration that we're hoping people get from these films and from the work that we're all doing is, yeah, let's change our own behavior. Let's do some work in our own backyards and our own communities. And then that groundswell leads to much bigger things. Yeah, it can't be. It's everybody's problem. It's in everybody's backyard. It's not the issues facing our rivers is not something that's facing one continent over another, right? It's North America's issue as much as it's Europe's, as much as it's South America's, and so on. We're all connected by rivers. We all rely on them for our way of life, truly. And if they're unhealthy, we're unhealthy. Yeah. We're all in trouble. Absolutely. And so we all need to come together.
So Eva, hey, I wanted to also mention something else that, you know, the story doesn't end here at the Rivers Are Life video, right? There's more to it than that. This was a proof of concept, right? Shipping material from Alaska to York, Pennsylvania is not something that we want to do continuously, right? It was a proof of concept. And so what the next step of the story is, right, is we're working toward creating this longer term solution, right? Building maybe a Resonate facility in Alaska. We're starting to explore that as a possibility and to be able to provide the Alaska community with that long-term solution, right? That is the goal of what this project is about, not just about telling the stories of Rivers Are Life, but providing that sustainable circular solution so that plastics don't end up in the ocean. They have a value and get reused.
Right, right. No, I'm so glad that you highlighted that because it is not tenable to keep shipping across the country like that. So I appreciate the proof of concept is going to be expanded and we all have a part to play in that, including Pixera. John, this project in Alaska to collect and move the waste to CRDC to hopefully build more facilities like the one in Pennsylvania, it really, really shows how circularity models need fresh and bold thinking from all angles. I would love for you to go into a little bit more detail about the value of testing, of piloting new things within the circularity space, just like this.
Yeah, so it's a good question. I want to bring it back a little bit. I think that, first of all, on the collaboration piece, it's hard. We tried like heck to get our partners involved. There was many naysayers and still a lot of naysayers. I think also there's a tendency to look at the individual, Chris, but not talk about the collective nature of he used everything in partnership to build this. This is a systems approach problem. The mass consumption that we're dealing with is a systems approach problem, and enabling reduce, reuse, repurpose behaviors is part of that. And I think it's really important to look at this as not just a patch to a problem, that this is a solution and one size fits all. On the note on your question, I think that we're past the point of piloting. I think that we have to really, when we look at going together and working together, collaboration is hard. And finding like-minded partners that come together to say, let's scale transformation. We're not just going to put this on a bookshelf and let it go. Who's with us to take action? And I think with FedEx was a great case in mind. You know, we've been working with them off the years for 5 years. And we told them about this idea of doing reverse logistics. We're working in other geographies. At first, they were like, well, wait a second, we don't do that. But then they thought long and hard about carbon offsets and really thinking through this logistic puzzle that really has not been solved yet. So they're innovating here. And I think I want to go back to that word on innovation. CRDC is an innovation, which we're testing, and we want to pilot and take to other markets. I think when you're looking at collaboration, one, why are you doing the collaboration? Are you really wanting to solve the problem? Do you really want to be meaningful when you're bringing the right actors together? Or is this just a story that you want to get out and show, hey, this is great, but it's really not a solution that we're trying to drive? I think the one thing I want to be perfectly clear on is that with this project, we've aligned, I think, complementary players doing the things that they do extremely well. From CRDC being a solution around concrete solutions, which can offset import costs that they have in Alaska, Chris Pallister focusing just on the ocean plastic piece, which is he's good at, but then bringing other actors in like Delta Backhaul, who's working with Tribe and bringing in Backhaul. First Mile, who's not been mentioned, who works in the hardest of waste ecosystems and waste sheds in Nicaragua, Haiti, and Ghana, taking their expertise of meeting people where they are and looking at a systems approach model, and then having a real story to tell, which Zach can tell, which is authentic. And I think one thing that I'm really appreciative of this whole process was everyone leaned in on where their superpowers are. And I think that's really important to find out when we're looking at circular, is that first of all, do we have a common definition of what that means? Is that aligned? What behaviors are we trying to drive? And then really, at the end of the day, it's a community-driven approach at the on the ground. What are the folks on the ground thinking the solution is, and how do we involve them in having ownership of that solution? So, you know, really excited about the process, and I think there's always going to be tension in partnerships. If there's not, you're not doing it well. You have to work through those tensions and identify the strengths of where we can collectively take action.
Okay, I really appreciate that you recognize how hard it is to collaborate. I understand that as well. So it's difficult to collaborate. I feel like the Keepers of the North film really highlighted how you can collaborate effectively and how, like, to your point, everyone has their superpower. FedEx doesn't have to come in and decide how to use this plastic and how to convert it to a sustainable material. They just need to do what they do best, and that is ship, right?
Right.
I would love to know from each of you in a sentence or less, because we're almost out of time, how do you think this film, Keepers of the North, and really this proof of concept and showing how effective it can be, how is it going to inspire others around the world? Or what are your ideas of inspiring others around the world to say, no, even though collaboration is hard, I've got to get involved. I've got to play my part. I have to exercise my superpower. John, why don't I just go back to you, because I know you're really passionate about this.
Yeah, I think the big takeaway is that dream big, but put a plan to the action and stick with it. It's not going to be overnight. Keep on going, keep on being at it. And then people who are in the know are going to pay attention to it. And that leads directly to partner with people who can complementary boost the work that you're doing. And I think those who think know your strengths and know your weaknesses, and then fill the gaps with other partners and like-minded people to help fill do this as a we. Turn the I into the we.
That's fantastic. And Zach, I know that you showed in the film that everybody doesn't have to know everything. There are people that can complement each other and get this process, you know, together we can go farther, or whatever you said. I mean, it's just amazing. So tell me what you would say to inspire others, or how the film might inspire others.
I think in general, there's hope. Like that's really what I think is at the heart of all of what we're trying to do, but there's hope. We just need to do the work. And that can be, you know, on your own as an individual, but I think coming together as a group, you know, across all communities, there's so much work that needs to be done, and it's not hopeless. It is hopeful. So pick up a shovel, put on some gloves, get out there, and you know, if we're all pitching in, it's going to come together.
Wendy, I know that you have been an integral part of all of this and you've committed your life to it. Tell me how you want to inspire others around the world, or how you feel like the film has done that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about getting involved, right? It's about being involved, being able to roll up your sleeves and get in there and figure out what needs to be done to, you know, create success, right? As John mentioned, and also Zach, it's a collaborative effort. We need everybody all in. Right? Everybody all in to make this a success.
Oh, so well said. Okay. I have to say, you have all inspired me. One of my favorite parts, though, of the film, Keepers of the North, was when the founder and CEO of CRDC mentioned that he remembers being worried about the ozone. But we fixed that problem, and we can fix this one, too. And I literally had chills all over. It was just such a moment. Thank you, each of you, Zach, John, Wendy, for all of your hard work in making this goal attainable, and for the hope that you have truly inspired in all of us today. I couldn't be more grateful. And to our listeners, we want to hear your thoughts about today's episode and your ideas on how you're planning to contribute plastic waste solutions in waterways or otherwise. And please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you listen on. Thanks for listening to the Seek Together podcast. I'm Eva Saha, and we hope you'll join us again next time.
This is the Seek Together podcast. Thank you for tuning in.